Better? You can hear me now. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's gospel reading is taken from Mark chapter 8, beginning to read at the 31st verse, and can be found on page 44 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. While we continue our Lent journey through the wilderness using Psalm 23. Last week we looked at the first three verses, but today we're looking at verse 4. And it's part of the first section of that psalm where David is reflecting on God as "the Lord is my shepherd." Next week we're going to start the second part of the section of the psalm. And it's where David reflects as God being his host. The Lord is my host. So before I get into the talk, I have a question for you. And the question is this: what do you fear? What are you scared of? What makes you anxious? I'm sure we all have different things. Maybe some of you might say, "Well, I'm scared of spiders." That's the first thing that comes to my head. Or snakes. Or maybe others of you may say things, "I'm scared of what's going to happen to the planet. I'm scared of what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, and will we get involved?" We all have different fears, don't we? One of the things I thought of when I just thought of the word fear, I thought, well, I'm quite frightened of heights. Anybody else frightened of heights? Yeah. It's the sheer drops I can't cope with. I can go up a hill, no problem, but it's the sheer drops. Like the escalator in John Lewis. You know what I mean? I'm okay going from the bottom basement up to the first basement or the first floor, but then when it gets a bit higher, because you can see all the levels and you see the sheer drops. Now I try to come against this fear. I think, no, Lord, I believe that you can get me through this. I'm not going to be frightened. I'm trusting in you. And I get on the escalator, and all of a sudden, halfway up, that feeling of falling comes over me. And my legs go like jelly, and my heart starts beating fast, and I start over-breathing. And I go, I know, I'm going to be all right, I'm going to be... By the time I get off the escalator, I'm like, ooh. And sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's not. But what I do realise is that I haven't fallen, and I have got off the escalator at the top, and all is okay, even though I feel nervous. Fear is a powerful emotion. We all suffer from it at different times, varying degrees, all for different reasons. When I was looking at this verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff comfort me. I was thinking, what word stands out to me? Or what words stand out to me? And the first one that stood out, and it changes. Sometimes I'll read that and I see something different. But this time it was fear that stood out. And the other two words that stood out was right at the beginning, even though. And it's, David is like saying, isn't he, at the beginning of the psalm, he's saying, you know, God is so good to me. I'm not in want. I lie down in green pastures. He takes me and leads me beside still waters. And then there's this, even though. And it's almost, I wonder if he's saying, I never expected to be in a position like this. I never thought, because my relationship is so strong with God, I've got such strong faith, I know God is with me, that he'd still take me down this dark valley, this difficult place. Even though. And he's grown in confidence when he writes that. Even though I've gone through that, I know God is with me. I know God can comfort me, protect me, guide me. Well, I wonder what he was alluding to. Was he just alluding to the fact that he'd been a shepherd? And that would give him the confidence because he'd seen off a bear and a lion, it tells us in Scripture. Even to the point where he ran after a lion, pulled open its mouth and rescued one of his lambs and brought it back to the fold and killed the lion. Even wolves. I wonder what he was reflecting on when he wrote that psalm. Biblical scholars and Jewish scholars have differing thoughts about it, different periods in his life where they think he's reflecting, not just on being a shepherd. Some think it's when he's having to run and hide from his son, Absalom. And just to give you a little bit of background, Absalom is absolutely furious with David because his sister has been despoiled. She's been raped by David's oldest son, his firstborn. And David loves his son so much, he can't bear to punish him. And so David's popularity dwindles as he's king, and Absalom's popularity just soars, and it gets to the point where David has to run away and hide in caves, and he's, you know, trying to find somewhere to rest. And we, if we read the Psalms, we hear, you know, there's times where his life is ebbing away. He's thinking, what's my life come to that I'm in this place, you know? And some theologians think, actually, maybe he's thinking further back, right at the beginning, when he first gets anointed, as when God has rejected King Saul. He's been anointed by the prophet Samuel, and his brothers have gone and joined King Saul's army, and David is with his experience of being a shepherd, is going and taking the food to the boys, and then he starts saying, why are you so frightened of the Philistines? They're all sort of got to come up against the Philistines and Goliath. And Saul hears about David and he takes him aside and he says, well, you're just a tiny boy, how can you go against Goliath? And David says, yes, but I've killed a bear and a lion. And he explains what happened, and Saul gives him that position to go and kill Goliath. He says, well, we'll see what happens. And he does, and he kills him. And then he, even though he's young and he's quite scrawny, he sort of takes him into the army. And everywhere David goes, he's got that anointing on him and he's successful. And King Saul thinks, this is great. You know, this is doing me good. This is great for me, for Israel. And then he puts him in charge of the army. And David's still only quite young. And he's risen up to this amazing position. And then Saul hears that one day, doesn't he? Hears the women singing as David and the men are coming back from their latest expedition, having won, you know, fought the enemy and they've won. And the women start singing, Saul has killed 1,000 men, but David has killed 10,000. And it tells us that an evil spirit comes over Saul and he gets angry and jealous and he wants to kill David because he thinks, this man is in charge of my army and he's more successful than I am. What's going to stop him being taking my kingdom? And so from that moment onward, David's life is in jeopardy and he has to run away. And he has to hide in caves and go from city to city. And as soon as people find out he's there, the king of that city then starts thinking, well, I don't want David here, you know, and then his life is in danger there. But all the way through, all of those times when he's thinking, what's happening to my life? God's anointed me. I've got this plan and a purpose for me. And yet, here I am, you know, living hand to mouth in the desert. Where are you, God? What's going on? God still speaks to him. It says, as I was reading through the chapters of Samuel, reading the story, God speaks to him individually, encouraging him, saying, Saul isn't going to get you, and you're going to be okay. And then when he goes to some cities, some of the prophets there of God speak to him and say, God has said, you're going to be fine, David. But he still has to go through the valley, doesn't he? He still has to go through it and come out the other side. God speaks to him when he's in his lowest ebb, when he's having difficulties, when he's frightened, when he feels alone, at night, when no one else is there. And it's comforting when God speaks to us as we're going through our valleys, whatever we're going through, whatever we're frightened of. It says that there's over 300, maybe 350, I think it is, places in Scripture where God says, do not fear. And that isn't because God's saying, oh, for goodness sake, I've told you once, I've told you twice, just like we do with the kids, don't we? Do not fear. It's because God is saying, I know you. I know you fear. I know you get scared. I know you're frightened. But I want to say to you, don't have to fear because I'm with you. He's saying that he wants to comfort us, reassure us. We can trust him. He'll never leave us. Sometimes he gives it as a command, as he did with Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We may still need to go through the valleys, whatever they are, those circumstances. The landscape may have changed. And we feel disorientated by what's making us frightened, what's making us upset, what's upsetting us. Maybe we're slightly off balance, but the Lord is right with us, walking with us, guiding us, protecting us, comforting us. one step at a time. And we don't have a God that doesn't understand that, what it feels like to feel fear, what it feels like to feel scared, to be alone. We have a God who's been through just as much as we have. In our gospel reading, right at the beginning, Jesus predicts his death and his resurrection, but he still has to go through it. He still has to feel all those emotions that we feel. And we notice that when we get to the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus feels the weight of the pressure of the task before him. And he says, if you could take this cup away from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And even on the cross, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we know that that comes from Deuteronomy, and he's quoting scripture, but he's also feeling it. We have a God who knows what we feel. We have a God who knows how to protect us, how to comfort us and guide us. We're all going through different things. We have a common valley that we're all walking through with the loss of our dear sister Jennifer. Some of us, it's happened so quickly, we haven't had a chance to really absorb it, and we're still getting used to it, aren't we? That she won't be here, and there's that hole left. Maybe it reminds us of other bereavements that we've had in our lives. Or maybe it's just that we're thinking of other things that we're going through. Jennifer has come past through her valleys and entered the eternal green pasture where we'll meet her again one day, just like we'll meet some of our other brothers and sisters that have gone before us. So it's not a goodbye, but it's I'll see you later. The landscape has changed. We may feel unsteady on our feet. We may not recognize where we are. We may be off balance sometimes. But the Lord has promised to guide us. So we can say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Julie. We turn now to prayer, and we would have had Glenda leading us in our intercessions this morning, but she's unexpectedly not very well. So we can remember Glenda, and I'm going to lead us in prayer. So the response this morning will be, when I say, whatever our journey, O Lord, if you'd like to reply, walk with us on the way. Whatever our journey, O Lord, walk with us on the way. And so we pray to our faithful God who knows us completely.